We are in John chapter 19, verses 1 through 22. And as we come into this chapter, it is Jesus has been arrested and he is before Pilate. A lot that takes place here, but our focus today is looking at the cross and all that led up to it. The humiliation of the Son of God that is displayed here. There's other angles that we could approach this text from, but that is our focus today. The four gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, give considerable space to the crucifixion of Jesus, describing it in detail. And then when we come to the resurrection, it's relatively brief. And the resurrection is something very, very important. I mean, that's what it all hinges on. It's not just that Jesus died, but the power of God showing that there is life over death. God has the power and forgives us through that. But it is the cross and all that takes place there that becomes a major focus for the gospel writers. Why is that? What's going on? It's not something that we just want to observe. In fact, in movies where it depicts this, the crucifixion of Jesus, I tend to kind of turn my eyes away because it's pretty gruesome. But it is important for us to look at this. And so we come, and the points that we're going to look at today, it's not a complete list, but just a few that we look at of why the humiliation of the Son of God, of Jesus, why it's important to us, what's going on here. So I encourage you to follow along in your Bibles or the Pew Bibles in John chapter 19. As we approach this text, let's again be in prayer. Lord, as we come to look at your word today, we're not looking at happy passages. We're looking at hard stuff, gruesome, horrifying. Lord, we ask that you would not only give us understanding, but move our hearts through this. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So John 19, beginning at verse 1. Then Pilate took Jesus and flogged him. And the soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head and arrayed him in a purple robe. They came up to him saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," and struck him with their hands. Pilate went out again and said to them, that is the Jews that had brought Jesus to him, and said, "See, I am bringing him out to you, that you may know that I find no guilt in him." So Jesus came out wearing the crown of thorns and the purple robe, and Pilate said to them, "Behold the man." When the chief priests and the officers saw him, they cried out, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Take him yourselves and crucify him, for I find no guilt in him." The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to that law he ought to die, because he has made himself the Son of God." When Pilate heard this statement, he was even more afraid. He entered his headquarters again and said to Jesus, "Where are you from?" But Jesus gave him no answer. So Pilate said to him, "You will not speak to me? Do you not know that I have authority to release you and authority to crucify you?" Jesus answered him, "You would have no authority over me at all unless it had been given you from above. Therefore, he who delivered me over to you has the greater sin." From then on, Pilate sought to release him, but the Jews cried out, "If you release this man, you are not Caesar's friend. Everyone who makes himself a king opposes Caesar." So when Pilate heard these words, he brought Jesus out and sat down on the judgment seat at a place called the Stone Pavement, and in Aramaic, Gabbatha. Now it was the day of preparation of the Passover. It was about the sixth hour. He said to the Jews, "Behold your king." They cried out, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to them, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar." So he delivered him over to be crucified. So they took Jesus and went out. And he went out bearing his own cross to the place called the Place of a Skull, which in Aramaic is called Golgotha. There they crucified him, and with him two others, one on either side, and Jesus between them. Pilate also wrote an inscription and put it on the cross. It read, "Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews." Many of the Jews read this inscription, for the place where Jesus was crucified was near the city. And it was written in Aramaic, in Latin, and in Greek. So the chief priests of the Jews said to Pilate, "Do not write 'the King of the Jews,' but rather, 'This man said, I am the King of the Jews.'" Pilate answered, "What I have written, I have written." So the issue today is looking at this humiliation of the Son of God. And one of the things that we see here is we witness the innocence of Jesus is recognized. It's recognized by Pilate, and I think by others as well. But Pilate is the authority. They have brought him to Pilate. They could not put Jesus to death themselves because it was against the law, the Roman law. Pilate had the authority to judge Jesus, to release him, to crucify him, or just punish him in some lesser form. The authority, the government at that time, embodied in Pilate, said, "I find no guilt in him." Says that in verse 4 and again in verse 6. "I find no guilt in him." He's innocent. That's important for different reasons. One reason it's important for us to know is just Jesus, as the perfect sacrifice for our sins, is innocent. He is without sin. And it is recognized by the Roman authorities. He's innocent. He's not guilty. So Pilate tells the Jews, proclaims it, he is innocent. We see also here, then, through the eyes of the Jews, a denial of the true identity of Jesus. His humiliation is there because the very core of his being, who he is denied by his own people. And there's different reasons that they have for doing it. They're maintaining their own power. Perhaps some of them really believe that he was committing blasphemy when he said that he was the Son of God. But the denial of Jesus' true identity. The Jews answered him, "We have a law, and according to that law, he ought to die because he has made himself the Son of God." So they didn't see it or weren't willing to submit to it. He didn't make himself the Son of God. He was the Son of God. He is the Son of God. The very core of who he is. We can think about it at times when people insult or deny the very core of who we are. They insult our integrity. This happened at the deepest level with Jesus, because him being the Son of God, coming to his own people and having them deny that, just push it aside. It's part of his humiliation. It's part of the suffering that he had to go through. So he suffers as an innocent person, committing no sin, committing no crime. He suffers in that his true identity, the core of his being, is denied even by his own people. And it cuts deeper. We see here also a complete and utter rejection of his kingship, his lordship over their lives. And when Pilate says, "Behold your king," their response was, "We have no king but Caesar." Now, keep in mind, who is saying this? This is the Jewish leaders. Their land is occupied. They don't like the Romans. They despise the Romans. They have to put up and live with the Romans. Caesar isn't their king. They don't love Caesar. They don't want to submit to Caesar. But to deny Jesus and to reject him completely, what comes out of their mouth is, "It's not our king. Caesar is our king." The humiliation for Jesus to hear his own people say that they want Caesar over him. Jesus, who was meek and mild, who healed people, fed the hungry, cared for people, came to die for our sins. Caesar, who was brutal, power hungry. And they said, "Caesar is our king." See, the suffering of Jesus was not just the physical suffering on the cross. It was attacking the very core of who he was. And we have to ask ourselves, when we think about our sin, the sin that Jesus died for, how do we participate in some of these same things that were there for God's people? Because I am convinced that if I were the only person who had ever lived on this planet, that I would have needed, just as I do need now, Jesus to die for my sins. We participate in these sins because there are times when, perhaps formerly out of ignorance, and even now, we deny the true identity of Jesus. And partly because we don't always submit to his lordship, his kingship, as we should, which is 100%. And none of us is capable of doing that. But there are things that we know. We read in Scripture. We know what God calls us to do, what it means to live with faithfulness. And at times, we just kind of look at those things and go, "Well, not for me." Or, and sometimes we just mask it in spiritual language. "Well, I don't have to do that. I'm saved by grace." And we miss the fact that we're called into relationship with Jesus, and faithfulness means that we're called to have changed lives. It's God at work within us, and the changed lives is the evidence of that. But our heart is inclined to do what is right. We want to do what is right. And so Jesus is our King, and any rejection of him, in even the smallest form, just like the churches in Galatia, where they began to think that their salvation was tied into something that they were doing, because it sounded good religiously. And it becomes a denial of what Jesus does. So the humiliation of Jesus, an innocent man dying, mocked, his true identity denied, his kingship rejected. But as we look at the humiliation of Jesus, we do begin to appreciate more and more the cost of the cross. It was not a simple, easy thing. It wasn't the humane way, if one could claim that there is a humane way, that capital punishment is done today in America on the rare occasions when it is done. It was a brutal, horrible way of death, meant not only to inflict the greatest amount of pain, but humiliation. Notice that all of this suffering of Jesus began even before. It was when he was first arrested and Judas betrayed him, Peter denied him, his disciples scattered, questioned by the authorities, his own people, who should have recognized who he was. But as he's brought now to Pilate, here's what takes place. Here's the further humiliation. Before he even questions about Jesus, about his innocence, we have Jesus being flogged. This is painful stuff. And then the soldiers come, and what we read through other historical accounts is this was not just unique for Jesus, but the guards would often mock the person being crucified, dress them up perhaps as a king, and they did with Jesus because of the claim that he was the king of the Jews. So they made a crown, but it was out of thorns. The thorns were probably about this long, sharp, thick, put on his head, pounded down, causing his flesh to bleed. They arrayed him in a purple robe. Now, the purple dye was very expensive, and only the rich could afford that dye. And purple was the color for royalty. But they had this robe that they could put on him to humiliate him, and they struck him with their hands. So they're beating on him with their hands, perhaps their fists, perhaps slapping him as well, humiliation, and saying, "Hail, King of the Jews," mocking him. And as Jesus is brought out to his own people, and as they call out for him to be crucified, and again saying that Caesar is their king, everything that is said by the Jews, his own people, just brings humiliation to the depth of his soul. Then he is taken out to be crucified. Even the depictions that we have are not sufficient. The things that we turn our eyes away from, or at least I do. And one of the reasons is because, you know, we usually see pictures that Jesus is arrayed with some sort of a loincloth. But the Roman government didn't do that. They wanted to utterly humiliate every person that they crucified. They were stripped naked, fully exposed as people came by. So they're beaten, they're hung on the cross, the pain that's inflicted as they pierce the hands, the feet, they're hanging there. This form of death was meant to extend out the pain as long as it could. There were some people that hung on a cross for days. Usually it was just hours because they had been inflicted with punishment before, being flogged and scourged, beaten. And then as they are hanging up there, the way that they're hanging, of course they're bleeding where they were pierced, but they're hanging down in such a way that they can't breathe. That was one of the forms of punishment. They can't catch a breath. And a way to catch a breath was to push up so that they could get a breath. But as they pushed up, where they were pierced down on their legs, it created a great deal of suffering. excruciating pain. And so they're left with the question of, do I just suffocate, or do I push up again and have that incredible pain just flash through my body as I try to get a small breath? And they're mocked as they hang there. And then sometimes, perhaps out of mercy or perhaps to inflict more pain, they might give them a little bit of solution on a sponge that was meant to kind of wet their mouth, which was parched, but also had a little bit of an antiseptic in it that would relieve a little bit of the pain so that they could extend out that suffering even longer. Just relieve a little bit of the pain so that that pain doesn't completely overwhelm them. And then perhaps they would come, probably more for their benefit just to have things over with, but come with a club and break the legs of the one hanging there to expedite the death. It's horrible. Now, that didn't happen with Jesus because he died beforehand. And sometimes they were pierced with a spear, as was Jesus. But notice the suffering that is there, and I can't even begin to come close to describing that pain. You know, we have our cross. Out of church history, we have a lot of different cross symbols. This particular cross, is one of the names given to it, is the Latin cross. And so the Roman Catholic Church had many crosses. This comes out of the Roman Catholic tradition. The Protestants adopted the Latin cross. But another cross that then came up through church history is the crucifix. That is, as we know, the cross that has a figure of Jesus hanging there. And some of them, if you look, they'll actually paint the blood on the wrists and on the side and down at the legs, and perhaps some blood up here as well, to depict the suffering that is there. Both types of crosses, the crucifix and the Latin cross, give to us important messages. See, for us, the Latin cross is a cross that's empty. We're celebrating the resurrection. But see, the drawback there is that we don't think enough about the horror that is there with just this cross. The cost to Jesus for our salvation was immense. And when we think about it, then we can appreciate more and more our Lord Jesus Christ and submit to his lordship, because we know what he did for us. But here's the thing, we must never then turn this around to say, Jesus died on the cross and went through this pain because I'm so valuable or because he needs me. That diminishes the grace of God and his sacrifice. This plan of salvation that God had was from before the foundations of the earth. This plan of salvation is for God to display his glory and his beauty to us so that we might be in relationship with him. It is utter grace to us, always grace, and grace is always so much more powerful than us trying to earn our salvation or us thinking that we have value, because we know deep down inside of us that we blow it. And grace brings assurance, assurance of God's love. And so Jesus died this incredible death for us. The last thing I want to pull out of here is something that is so important. It's part of the humiliation of Jesus in that He had victory in the midst of it, and he knew it from the very beginning. He was in complete control. God was in control of all of this because it was his plan. Pilate didn't think that, but Jesus proclaimed it. Pilate said, "You're going to speak to me like this? I have authority to release you or to crucify you." And Jesus' response is, "You would have no authority over me at all unless it had been given to you from above." Any authority that Pilate had in all of this process was because God had ordained it from the beginning. And so Jesus is really just saying, what's happening right now is all according to plan. God's in control. And here's one more evidence of that right at the end. When Pilate puts up there the sign that says, "The King of the Jews," and you notice here, it's written in Aramaic, which is the language of the Jews, just their natural language that they spoke, in Latin, which is the formal language of the Roman Empire, and in Greek, which is the common language of the Roman Empire, so that almost everybody spoke Greek. And it was there. So anybody going by, there's no way that you could mistake that sign, what it was saying. You couldn't say, "Can somebody translate that for me?" No. Everybody knew. The King of the Jews. The Jewish leaders come and complain to Pilate. "Look, just put up there this man claims to be. He says he's the King of the Jews. At least put that so it doesn't have the official title there." Pilate's response, "What I have written, I have written." He wasn't going to change it. Now, why is that being God in control? Because it comes back up to what Jesus said earlier. You wouldn't have any authority unless it was given to you from above. The sentence that he gave of crucify Jesus and these final words that he says, "What I have written, I have written," is because God wanted that message to be there. Who is Jesus? He is the King of the Jews. He is the Son of God. He is the one who died for us at great cost. Let's pray. Lord, help us more and more to understand the cost of the cross. Not that we would be overwhelmed or sickened, but that we would appreciate you more. See you more and more for who you really are. Thank you for the grace that you have poured out to us. Through that grace, we pray that you would continue to change us, helping us to submit to you as our Lord and our King. And we pray in that precious name of Jesus. Amen.